The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus answered Judas, not Iscariot, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and he will come to love them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me saying to you, I am going away and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. For many families and young people, and some not so young people, this weekend was extremely important. It marked the end of one phase of life and the beginning of a new phase. I'm talking about the college graduation. As a professor, each year I witness this rite of passage. Students and faculty saying farewell to one another as we boot them out of the safe college nest and hope that we've done what we need to do in teaching and that they've learned and done what they need to do as students so that they might go out and soar. We hope that we are able to send them off with a little piece of each of us and our institution that will help them to navigate their futures. This is not all that different than what we have been listening to Jesus say to his disciples for the last few weeks in our gospel lessons. In these chapters of John, Jesus is saying goodbye. They have shared the meal that we call the Last Supper, and now Jesus is trying to prepare them for what will come next, trying to prepare them for the fact that he is getting ready to leave them. And they will have to move forward, sharing the gospel without him physically present. But even though they are graduating to the next phase of discipleship, Jesus is not sending them off by themselves. He will send an advocate, the Holy Spirit, to accompany them. The Holy Spirit who will remind them of Jesus' teachings and support them. If only I had something as powerful as the Holy Spirit to send with my students. While Paul was not one of Jesus' disciples when Jesus was living, we know that he was very deeply influenced by the Holy Spirit to spread the gospel. We heard the story today of the baptism of Lydia and her family. I find it intriguing that this story is included in the scripture, because let us look a little more closely into who Lydia was. She was a woman with a business. In the business of manufacturing dyed cloth. This was actually not a coveted job. The process of dyeing back then required animal urine. It was a very smelly business. It was also done by hand, which meant the women involved in this trade, and this was primarily a woman's trade, the women involved with this trade would carry a certain stigma with them everywhere they went. We also know that she was not from Philippi, which is where Paul finds her. So she is a migrant worker in a trade that is not well respected. She is also literally living outside of the gates, in the margins. But Paul meets her where she is, and meets her family and the women that she is sitting with where they are. And the women hear his message of salvation. But the story, of course, didn't stop there. She and her family are baptized, and Lydia invites Paul and his companions to stay with her. Paul was not so sure this was a great idea, but in the end, they go. Right, Paul originally refused. We get this little bit at the end about how she was able to encourage him to come, right? How she was able to persuade him and his companions to come. We don't know why he originally refused, if it was because she was female or because she was of a different class. Again, we don't really know why, but in the end, Paul stayed. One commentator notes that this act by Lydia was one where she is challenging the discrepancies and hypocrisies, and through her determination makes an impact on Paul and his companions, so much so that this story gets included in the book of Acts. True hospitality and living out the gospel means that the way someone lives, the job someone has, the income someone makes, the gender someone is, the color of a person's skin, insider versus outsider status. True hospitality and living out the gospel means that none of those things matter. All that matters is sharing the news that Christ has died for the sins of all. And because of that, we are called to welcome all. So how do we show hospitality? I'm reminded of a trip that Alexandra and I took to Ireland a few summers ago. We used Airbnb the entire trip. Now, for those who don't know what Airbnb is, these are people who are part of an Airbnb app, and they rent out their houses or rooms in their houses to people who are traveling. Sometimes you never meet the host because they leave elsewhere. For most of our trip, we stayed in a little two-bedroom, one-bathroom flat above an Irish pub with a young man who immigrated to Ireland from Brazil. His wife was back home visiting family. He shared his space and his food and his time with us, total strangers. And I'm also reminded of this past Easter, and how for Easter breakfast, our guests staying in Wetzel Hall were welcomed to the Easter feast. These are just a couple examples of hospitality. It is very easy to go along with society and decide who we think deserves our attention and our time, and who does not. But when we look at the life of Jesus and then his death and resurrection, we see that it is not up to us to decide who is deserving. It is up to us to share the gospel with all. We might share the gospel in words or stories, but really the best way to share the gospel is by what we do, by looking out into our surroundings and finding what is needed so that we can go do God's work in this place. But again, this is not something we are expected to do alone. Jesus tells his followers, and he tells us, that the Holy Spirit will be with us. Not only that, but peace as well. And Jesus was not talking about the absence of war, or even the Roman Empire or any empire keeping its nose out of people's faith practices. But instead, Jesus was talking about the deep sense of well-being that only Christ's peace can bring. There are times in our lives when it might be very difficult to believe that God's Holy Spirit or God's peace are with us. The injustice of this world, the wars, the atrocities that accompany war, mass shootings, the pandemic, the violence that happens due to ignorance and bias, and even death and destruction that happens only due to nature. This is the world in which we live now. And it is up to us all to break down the barriers that perpetrate violence. But this can't happen without faith, hope, and love. all gifts of the Spirit. That Holy Spirit that Jesus promises to the disciples in our gospel lesson this morning. We at first are not strangers to the Holy Spirit. We know that the Holy Spirit is in this place. We know that God has work for us to do. I pray that we will have open eyes, open ears, open hearts to take in both the call and the comfort of the Holy Spirit and make even a little difference in our little part of the world. In the end, many little differences make a huge difference. And in making a difference, we embody the love of Christ. May the peace of Christ and the Holy Spirit continue to be with us and work through us. Amen.